Boged. Anytime you do a sin, you're a boged. You know that?
I'm a boged.
You betray God. Anytime you do a sin, you're a boged.
You're a betrayer.
When we sinned, the body became mortal. The body is going to die now and subject to decay. So because we betray God, before the sin of Adam and Chava, did they wear clothes?
No.
Why not? Because body and soul were one. The soul, not just the soul was the Tzelem Elohim, the body itself was the Tzelem Elohim. There was no difference between body and soul. It was all one eternal entity. The handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzelem Elohim. There was no need for clothes. Once they did the boged, the sin of betraying God, any sin is a betrayal of God, then beged became necessary. Now your body is no longer like the soul. Now the body is subject to death and decay. Now the body is only what?
A
beged for the godly soul. So now you have to wear clothes. Now you have to remind yourself that just like clothes are only a covering, the body itself is now only what? A covering. You blew it. The body is going to be like the soul, eternal. Nitzchias. Tell him in. You boged. You betrayed God with the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Now you beged. Now the body becomes mortal, subject to death and decay. So you have to put on clothes because now your body is no longer eternal. Now the body is only a beged. Now the body is only a beggar for the soul. So clothes remind us not to be too fixated on the body, because just like clothes, they say clothes make the man.
Yeah, right.
Just like people say you're an empty suit, right? An empty suit. When a person dies, he's an empty suit. I mean, he's not there. The body remains. All right? So the guf is only the beged now of the neshama. It didn't have to be that way, but that's plan B. Plan A was that body and soul were eternal, inseparable, one entity. So when we blew it, beged became necessary. So when Loyalenu, a relative, dies, we tear kriya, we tear our clothes to remind us that the relative is not dead. His suit is just torn. He's now free. The death of the body is the birth of the soul. And that's what Kriya is all about. Shouldn't know from it, but that's the greatest comfort. Knowing that that our beloved relative is now free. Therefore, a dead person in Hebrew is called a niftar. You know, a dead person in Hebrew, even a modern Hebrew, a dead person in Hebrew is called a niftar. Even a niftar,
Niftar.
Ask your Ulpan teacher.
Yeah.
Now, niftar is an Aramaic word. The word Ulpan itself is not in Hebrew. The word Ulpan itself means study in Aramaic. But the word niftar, for a dead person in Talmudic language, in modern Hebrew as well, what does the word niftar mean?
Dead.
No, it doesn't mean dead.
No.
Get rid of.
It means what?
Release. Get rid of.
Please release me, let me go. Remember that song? Did I spell it wrong? I don't know. How do you spell release?
Not after the L. E-A.
R-E-L. R-E-L.
E-A-S-E-A.
Release.
Niftar means to be released. That's what it means.
To be released from the body.
That's right.
They say niftar.
Niftar. Niftar. In modern Hebrew, it's not Hebrew, it's Aramaic, taken from the Talmud. But that person is called released because the neshama is no longer confined to the bodysuit. It's released. So this is what Rivka was teaching with one little simple act of putting on the tzayif. Modern Hebrew tzayif means a scarf. In Biblical Hebrew, tzayif means a veil. A veil. Okay. In the parsha, that we are going to read this coming Shabbos, yes. Right?
Which one is that?
Parshas Vayetze. Right? It says, Vayivga ba'mokoyim, Vayikach ma'avnei ha'mokoyim, Vayishka ba'mokoyim. Over and over again, it says the word ba'mokom in Parshas Vayetze. He reached the place, he took from the stones of the place, he slept in the place. What's the over word again? Ba'amokoyim, ha'amokoyim, ha'amokoyim, the place.
Hashem.
God is called ha'amokoyim.
Yeah.
Why is God called ha'amokoyim? Because he's every place. And then when you go for Shiva Kol Yelenu, you say ha'amokoyim yinachem eschem. God has many names. Why don't you say Kel Shaddai, Elohim? Why do you say Hamokom Yenachem Eschem? May God comfort you. Why do you use God's name Hamokom? Why don't you use another name? Elohim, Kel Shaddai. That's the greatest comfort. That even though your beloved relative is not in your place, he's in a better place. He's with the place. He's not in your place, but he's in God's place. And that's a great comfort. Hamokom Yenachem Eschem, he's in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So saying it in English is not as effective.
What? No. You should say the word Hamokom. The place. God is called the place.
But if you say...
Because he is the place.
Yeah.
He is the place.
He is the place. Capital P. So your relative is not in your place. He's with the place. Okay? And that's a great comfort. That's a great comfort. Now, what do we need to know? That Yaakov had this dream with the ladder. The ladder, Mutzav Arza. The ladder was anchored in the ground, and the top reached the heavens. Why is that important for the year 2010? Torah doesn't tell me any stories, Nachama. We need to know that the ladder, Mutzav Arza, V'roitzai Megiyah Shemaima. The Sulam, the ladder, was anchored in the ground, the Eretz, and the top reached the heavens. Why is that important? Why is that important?
Linking
the two worlds. Linking this world and the next. But the ladder to spirituality, has to be anchored in the Eretz before you can get to Shemayim. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Arza represents Derech Eretz. Shemayim represents what? Torah. But you can't get to Torah unless you have Derech Eretz first. Sula Mutzav Arza. First, the ladder to spirituality has to be anchored in Derech Eretz before you get to Shemayim. Shemayim represents Torah. But if you want to get to Torah, first you have to be Mutzav Arza. First, you have to be a Derech Eretz person. A Derech Eretz person. And then you can reach Shemayim. You see this idea. It says, Noach Ish Tzadik. Noach was a Ish Tzadik. Now, I know he wasn't orangutan. Yeah. Say, Noach Tzadik.
Yeah.
Why Ish Tzadik? I know he's a human being. Beautiful. You hear what she said?
No.
Penina? It's great to be a tzaddik, but first you got to be a mensch. Noach doesn't say Noach tzaddik. Ish tzaddik. First he was a mensch. First he was a mensch. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. And then the parsha of Eliezer. Over and over again, it calls him Aish. Never mentions his name. It's either Evet Avraham or Ish. First of all, he was what? A mensch. First, he was a mensch.
Eliezer.
He's never called by name. Over and over again, he's called Ish. A mensch. If you're an Evet Avraham, then you gotta be what? You gotta be a mensch. Nachon? Unbelievable, huh? Now,
yes.
The Pasha that we read yesterday, Rivka calls, Yaakov says, Va'ata b'ni, Now, my son, Shema Bekoli. Yiddish? Now, my son, listen to my voice. There are no extra words in the Holy Torah. There's exactly 304,805 letters in the Torah scroll. She should have said, Bini Shema Bekoli. My son, listen to my voice, and we got to fake out dear old dad. Why does she say the word Atta? Atta with an I in means what?
Now.
Now. So the Uriah Kodesh asked the Kasha, why say now, my son? My son, listen to me. What do you mean now, my son? What's the word now? It's now or never. What does it mean now, my son? No. Says the Uriah Kodesh, sitting down for this, that Rivka was a Gilgal of Chava. And Yaakov Avinu was a Gilgal of whom? Adam. She's saying, now you're my son. In this life cycle, you're my son. As opposed to the first time around, you are my what?
Husband.
I think that's where the Goyim get the Oedipus complex.
Oh.
They got everything from us. Yeah, there we are. She's saying, Ata Bini, now you're my son. That's what the text says. If you read the English, you won't get it. But the Hebrew, Genesis 27, verse 8, she says, now you're my son. And yesterday you weren't my son, Avram. So the Ariya Kodesh says, in this life cycle, you're my son. As opposed to the first time around, you were my husband. So I caused you the sin of the Eitz Hadas. So now you have to listen to me to get the bracha. Somehow this bracha is a tikkun for the sin of the Eitz Hadas. By getting Yaakov the bracha, she is being metakin the sin of what? Of Chava. Isn't you hear what I'm saying to you? You don't believe it? I'll prove it to you. Okay? How do you spell Rivka? In Hebrew. This is a Hebrew class.
Yeah.
Rivka spelled backwards is what?
Hakever. Oh,
Rivka, I'm not making this up. Rivka spelled backwards, take a look in the Chumash, is Hakever. What does Hakever mean?
The grave.
The grave. Why is Rivka spelled backwards Hakever? Who brought the grave into the world? Chava. By her sin, she brought death into the world. Death is symbolized by what? By what? Hakever. So she comes back as Rivka, to be attacking the sin of the Kever. Rivka spelled backwards is our Kever. She was Chava, she brought death into the world. Death is symbolized by what? Kever, grave. So now, my son, you have to listen to me. I have to get you the bracha, because somehow that's going to be the taka in the chet of the Kever. This is the Ariya Kodesh. We're over 40, we can talk Kabbalah, except for Eli. Make believe you're over 40. Okay? What?
Right.
Okay.
Yaakov is.
Yaakov is a Gilgal of Adam, and Rivka is a Gilgal of Chava. So, because of Chava, Adam sinned with the Eitz Hadas, and he brought the Kever into the world. So she comes back as Rivka, and he comes back as Yaakov, and by getting him the bracha, she is being metakein the sin of the Kever, which is Rivka spelled backwards. Okay? It ain't over till it's over. You can pay me now. You can pay me later. You mess up, you got to get it right. What?
The bracha was that he would be...
By getting him the bracha, somehow it's being metakein the chet of the Eitz Hadas.
So what does that give him?
What?
That he didn't.
That he gets the bracha? She was instrumental in getting him the bracha, she is repairing the sin of the Eitz Hadas.
But that doesn't make people eternal.
No, but it will. Bilam Moves Lanetzach. Don't you see, Sonia? There's a person, Isaiah, Pesuk in Isaiah, Ubile Hamoves Lanetzach. In fact, Loyalenu, when you go to a Shiva house, Loyalenu, you quote the Pesuk in Isaiah. Ubile Hamoves Lanetzach. Isaiah, God tells him, that at the end of time, God will swallow up death forever.
Which Isaiah?
That's the. I don't remember what chapter in Yeshayahu, but it's in Yeshayahu. Ubila hamoves lenetzach. God will swallow up death forever. That's because Yaakov got the bracha through Rivka. At the end of time, we're going to go back to the future. We're going back to plan A, 1 minute, where death will be banished forever like it was in plan A. But that's because Yaakov got the bracha. Eventually, it's going to cause for death to be abolished forever. As God tells Yeshayahu, that's because of Yaakov getting the bracha. What's your question? Body and soul will be one again. That's we're going back, Sonia, to the future. Remember that film, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
We'll be betaken the sin of Adam, and you won't have to die anymore.
That was supposed to be at Har Sinai.
What? That was beautiful. When the Jews said, Nasa v'nishma, Nechama, we went back to plan A.
Exactly.
For 40 days, we were back to plan A. Then we sinned with the golden getchka. We messed it up again. We broke, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We broke it again. And so we have to wait now until the end of time.
Is that
right?
The Yad HaMesim or something else?
What?
Is that the revival?
That's the Tchias HaMesim, and then the resurrected dead will not die anymore. Death will be banished forever. There'll be no longer a need for death at the end of time, right?
There are a lot more people than there would have been every time of Eve.
What?
There are a lot more people.
The last Mishnah in Shas, I'm not making this up. Imagine the resurrection of the dead, Avram. You have trillions of people. Where are you going to put them all? The beautiful. You're beautiful, Nechama. The last Mishnah in Shas says that all of these planets, God is going to give to each tzaddik after the resurrection, right. Shai Alomot. Avram, you're good in math. What is Shai Alomot? Shin Yud is how much? 310. Yiddish Alfie, stay tuned. At the end of time, every resurrected tzaddik will receive 310 planets.
Oh, wow.
Each. There's zillions of planets. It's infinite. Why does God need infinite zillions of planets? So the last Mishnah in Shas says that all of these zillions of planets are going to be to populate all of these people.
Only the Goyim,
they got everything from us. Space travel, space, what's it called? Space colonization. It's already in the last Mishnah, in Masechta Uktzin. That's how Shas finishes. That at the end of time, God is going to apportion to each resurrected tzaddik 310 planets. Beam me up, Scotty. That's where you're going to put all of these billions of people.
They're not all tzaddikim.
That's why, what? Just tzaddikim.
Only the tzaddikim.
Just tzaddikim.
Oh, so what
about everybody else?
That was last night's shiur. You missed it. Why is rain a greater mitzvah than resurrection? Why is rain a greater miracle than the resurrection of the dead? The Gemara in Tainus says that rain is a greater miracle than the resurrection of the dead. How could that be? Because the resurrection of the dead is only for tzaddikim.
Oh.
But rain benefits the Rishoyim as well. So it's a greater miracle. Rishoyim also benefit from rain. They won't benefit from the resurrection. So each tzaddik, everyone in this room is a tzaddik, comes to study Torah. So each, stay tuned, we're going to get 310. That will be our, what? Our estate or whatever, what's it called?
We get to study.
310 worlds we're going to get. Blast off.
What?
Space travel. Don't you see it's all happening? Yes, Virgin Atlantic is already selling tickets to the moon. I'm not joking. Virgin Atlantic are selling tickets. Why Dafka Shai Alomot? It's a good question. Why Dafka 310?
What do we do with all that space?
That's what people are going to be there. We'll be managing them.
But we're not tzaddik.
Every tzaddik will have Shai Alamot.
Who's a tzaddik?
Anyone that studies Torah comes to the OU for shiur. all tzaddikim. But you see that space travel will become the norm. I mean, they're talking about it now. It's really going to happen. Don't you see that God is putting all of these technological breakthroughs?
He's putting it in place.
It's putting it in place. The Zohar predicted 2,000 years ago that right before Mashiach comes, there'll be an incredible explosion of dot, of knowledge, of scientific knowledge. The internet, space travel, Facebook, these are all the tools that Mashiach will use. Don't you see? It's all falling into place. And people living longer and healthier.
You think
right?
so?
What? People not living longer?
Sure.
And healthier?
Here in Jerusalem, they're really living longer. In the hundreds, in the hundreds.
This is just a prelude to the Messianic era. Right? And resurrection of the dead. Of Arya Kaplan, Zechat Tzadik Avrocha says, how is Mashiach going to do that? Through cloning. The loose bone. We have to talk about that Bli Neder next week. There's one little loose bone on the back of the neck that never decomposes. He says, Rav Arya Kaplan Zatzal, that God or Mashiach is going to use that loose bone, which contains the entire DNA of a human being, and will clone a new body.
It's probably the stem cell.
Stem cells, human cloning. It's all God is going to utilize the scientific wonders, because it's all from him anyway.
What happened in the Holocaust when we were incinerated?
That bone is never lost.
It's never lost.
That bone is never lost. That bone is never, even in the crematoria lo yaleinu, that bone remains.
Anyway, it's not hard for God.
Right.
In Islamabad, do we get to study Torah?
Well, what else do you do up there? Right?
So
what do you do? Because take a look at the Mishnah Masechta Avot. It says Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Omer. It keeps saying Omer. You know Hebrew.
Yes.
They said it 2,000 years ago. It should have said Rabbi Omar.
Right.
Akavya Mahalal Omar. No, it says Omer. Omer. But they said it 2,000 years ago. Sakam, it says Omer. What does Omer mean?
Is it still saying
no, Omer means now. They're still saying it.
Oh, right.
It's not Omar.
No.
It's Omer. You have to know Hebrew. You read the English, you get mixed up. It never says Omar throughout the Talmud. It's Rabbi Omer, even though he said it 2,000 years ago. But it's Omer, he's still saying it. He's still pitching. Because in Olam Haba, that's you continue to study Torah without any limitations. You don't need a lunch break. You don't need a sleep break.
I have a memory.
Right? You'll know everything. Everything will be right. You'll be beyond time. Beyond space and beyond body.
Sounds
that's
good.
Exactly the difference between this world and the next world. So every mitzvah you do is to sanctify time, place, and body. That's to bring heaven down on earth. That's the tafkid of Judaism. To bring heaven down on earth. And that's the mitzvah of Nida Chala Ad Lokas Aner. They personify Nida Kedushas Haguf, Chala Kedushas Hamokoyim, and Ad Lokas Aner, lighting the candle, is sanctifying what? Time. When the lady lights the candle, she's sanctifying time.
What if the man lights the candle, Rabbi?
That's good too. But if he's married, then the wife should do it. We said why. Because women are the caretakers of Judaism. If she's married, then the wife should do it. If he's not married, ain't breira. Never, he has to do it. Not he can, he has to. If he's not married, he has to do it. But if he's married, the halacha says he should have the wife do it. Because her mission is to safeguard Judaism.
Yeah.
To bring heaven down on earth. That's Mama Sarah and Rivka. And all you ladies who follow in the footsteps. Not Abraham. The miracles were not in Abraham's tent. No. Sorry. Only in Mama Sarah's tent. Right? The magic cloud of the Shekhinah. Not in Abraham's tent. On Sarah's tent. And Rivka's tent. Yes? That's what Rashi says.
What?
Oh, thank you.
That's
what?
Resurrection of the dead. How does that work with reincarnation? Which body
are
you going to come back?
So the Ariya Kodesh asked that question. Don't mix up resurrection with revival of the dead, with the reincarnation. Right? So which body will stand up at the end of time? Will the real me please stand up? Let's say you've been
been reincarnated 19 times. So at the end of time, will the real me please stand up?
I hope it's a good me.
What? So the Riach Kodesh says, why does Shloimeh HaMelech in Mishlei chapter 3 compare the human soul to a candle? Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. Why does Shlomo in Mishlei compare a human soul to what?
Candle.
To a candle. So Riach Kodesh says, just like a candle, you have one flame, you can light a million flames from that, and that, I'm not talking about the wick, the flame itself will not be diminished. You can light a million flames from that one flame, and each flame will assume its own identity without diminishing the candle. So he says the same thing, Ner Hashem, every time the neshama is reincarnated, it assumes its own personality, its own identity, like the candle assumed its own identity. Sounds confusing, right? Stay tuned. But he says that each one of us will be reincarnated, resurrected as many times as we were here. There'll be many of us walking around like clones. Yeah. Huh?
We're clones. Same body?
No, different body. Will it be the same body? I'll tell you. Why does Yeshaya HaNavi and King David call the Jewish people Tolat? Talat means a caterpillar. Not a worm, means a caterpillar. Can't trust the English. Just so why? So the Kabbalah explains, why does King David and Isaiah call the Jewish people a caterpillar? Hey, you caterpillar, you. Because a caterpillar crawls into a cocoon. Cocoon is a grave. It decomposes and out comes a butterfly. So the same thing with Tchiyas HaMeisim. The body is put into a cocoon, a grave. Out will come a beautiful butterfly.
Oh, right.
So just like the butterfly is much more beautiful than the caterpillar, the new body we're going to have will be as amazing as the caterpillar is different than what? Than the butterfly. Vashtey. Is the caterpillar the butterfly? Is the caterpillar the butterfly? But he looks totally different. So the same thing, the resurrected body will be like a butterfly compared to what?
Caterpillar.
Okay.
You say there are 19 reincarnations.
No, I just threw it out. There are many. Thank you. The book of Job says three. That's for Goyim. Goyim get three, but a Jew gets endless. See, Job was a Goy.
He said this is the last reincarnation.
Yeah, the Baal Shem Tov said that. We're here for the last time. The Baal Shem Tov said that. We completed our mission. We're here for the last time. That's a good question. You have to stay tuned for that.
It might not be the purpose if that's what happens in Halal Abal. Equally with a husband, if you've been married more than once.
Or which wife do you go with? What? Me, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You may get to choose.
You could have been a widow or a widower and you love that person, but then
right.
Marry someone else.
Not gonna
all
right.
So my view is,
I want to be my husband, but no more.
We have to hang in there. Stay tuned. We have
well,
a lunch time for
him.
What's with Henry? Should I go see him now?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
You want to go?
I don't want to go. I think it's between you and
yeah,
him.
I mean, I was just.
So she said I should go now. I can go.
No.
I can go till 7, right? Visiting is till 8?
I guess so.
Right.
I would go as soon as possible.
So what do you do in
when does he have to come home,
do
you know?
Do
she doesn't know.
Do when you're at home.
But he's there today.
Like
all right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So,